From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. A new report from the California State Auditor's Office says leaders in the UC system may have been siphoning money, putting as much as $175 million in a hidden reserve fund. And the news came as campuses were planning a 2% tuition hike in the fall. UC President Janet Napolitano says the auditor's report lacks key information and is drastically exaggerating the size of the reserves. Cap Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler has been following the story. He is joining us to talk more about it in this week's Capital Chat. Hi, Ben. I want to check in. Where are you at the moment?
I'm here in the Senate Press Bay right now, and it is we're just about to get started, and it's shaping up to just be kind of a regular, quiet Thursday morning session.
Okay, let's do a bit of background here on this audit. I want to ask you what prompted it. I'm not sure you saw the opinion piece in the Sacramento Bee that essentially slams the legislature for asking for 8 audits in 4 years and saying that this has been the legislature exerting its own muscle, not to mention what's in the report itself. But what's the reaction there been to this audit?
It struck me that this is such a she said, she said type of thing. It's interesting in the fact that the stories are so different depending on whom you ask. And even on the Board of Regents, there's a split about whom to believe. I've spoken, you know, with regents who don't care to go on the record, who agree with the audit and disagree with the audit. So it's really hard at this point to say who's in the right.
So this $175 million in a what's being characterized as a hidden reserve fund, by another accounting method, that number might be more in the $30 million range, maybe $38 million. But what about that pot of money specifically, Ben?
Well, it really, again, it's who do you believe? You've got one, the auditor saying it's $175 million, the UC saying it's $38 million. And there, it appears to come down to, well, how do you count certain pots of money? There's within the $175 million that the auditors come up with, there's a bunch, you know, 2 different pots. There's one that's kind of earmarked for specific things formally, and then there's one that isn't. And the president's office says, well, there has been money within this unearmarked pot that's set aside for various priorities of the university and of the Board of Regents. And then the $38 million is just a prudent 10% reserve, which, you know, there are, you know, if that's true, there's a legitimate argument to be made that, you know, a 10% reserve is prudent. The fact is, though, that this money was not disclosed to the public or to the legislature, according to the audit. And, you know, at least one region has told me that they weren't aware of it. And so that's the question that you have here is, first of all, is it proper? And second of all, what about the fact that it hasn't been disclosed? At the least, the auditor is saying, and lawmakers are saying, it doesn't look good.
I do want to let everyone know that we will link the auditor's report so that you can find whatever detail you'd like to know about this story. We'll link that to our website, as well as the response letter that came from the UC president, Janet Napolitano. And in that letter, Ben, she does say that the report is false in its claims of that failure to disclose tens of millions in surplus funds. And she tries to lay out where these funds are going to go. But there appears to be no simple way to say, where was this money coming from and what specifically was it going to be used for?
Well, the way it works is the legislature and governor in the state budget appropriate a large chunk of money to the University of California. Then the Board of Regents has constitutional authority. They are independent. The UC is from political influence, unlike the CSU, which can be more controlled from the legislature and governor. So the Board of Regents then divvies up the money and sends money to various campuses and allocates money to the president's office. The money allocated to the president's office is what we're talking about here. Apparently, the way the auditor says she got to the $175 million is these are funds that were allocated from the Board of Regents to the president's office and were not spent at the end of each fiscal year. So you just hang on to the money that you have been allocated that you weren't spent. Meantime, the president's office went back to the Board of Regents and asked for increases in its budget and got it. So that is raising the question of, well, if you had money left over, why are you asking for more? There's also a question that the auditor raises of some of the money that is in this fund comes from campuses giving money to the president's office, because there are fees that campuses pay the president's office to kind of run the system. And so it sets up at the very least this dichotomy, this divergence of, well, there's money sitting in the president's office unused that critics would say could be being used by campuses to admit more students, to admit more California students. And of course, there's this big question over whether the UC is serving Californians enough, or whether it's increasing its admittances of out-of-state students, out-of-country students, because the university can charge higher fees.
And in fact, this fall, there was an expected increase in tuition for the first time in 6 years. So has there been talk about what happens to that and what the legislature might do because of this report?
Oh, of course, there's questions about what the legislature is going to do. The legislature and lawmakers, you know, they like to point fingers and say, hey, this is wrong and this needs a solution and we're going to fix it. And you certainly have some members of both parties saying, at the very least, we need to reconsider whether it's proper to have this tuition increase that was just agreed to. So that's going to be, I think, a big focus. But the fact is, the Board of Regents has already approved the tuition increase. There's
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that was my point, because you can have the lieutenant governor call for a reversal of the tuition increase, and the assemblyman Phil Ting, who actually called for the audit, say that, all right, this is wrong. But what can happen in the mechanism of either how the UC and or the legislature operate that could change this before students get billed in the fall?
Well, there are a couple of regents, I think, who would like to roll it back. And you know, Lieutenant Governor Newsom is a regent, and you've seen Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon, who is a regent, and there will be other regents too, but probably not a majority. The president, Janet Napolitano, tends to have a majority of the regents willing to stick with her and have her back. And so it then just comes down to, you know, the PR question of whether the university thinks it can move forward, and whether President Napolitano thinks she can move forward with the tuition increase. And they the university really thinks that it's been kind of persecuted by this audit and by this auditor. And, you know, to your point earlier, there's been a whole bunch of audits over the past few years. And I think there's a sense inside the UC that the auditor comes in looking for things that are wrong. Whether they are actually wrong is not necessarily clear to the UC.
I guess another question would be the state budget and whether this would prompt any adjustments in terms of UC funding in the picture that eventually goes before the legislature or Governor Brown's budget.
Certainly could, but at that point, are lawmakers punishing students for the sins of the university or the president's office? I should say the perceived sins, because, again, it's so hard to tell who's in the right here. So it's really hard, because you've got a lot of support in the legislature for increasing state budget funding for the UC and the CSU and the community colleges. And as a side note, the CSU tends to be pretty well, has really shown a track record of not getting on lawmakers' bad side, where the UC really has kind of seemed to get on lawmakers' bad side. But, you know, you can't, like, just cut funding. If you do, then, you know, what happens to the students?
You're listening to Cap Radio's Ben Adler. I am talking to him for this week's Capital Chat. I also, Ben, want to track the latest on the single-payer health care legislation that is still working its way through committee. Catch us up on what happened this week.
Sure. You had what I think probably needs to be described as a largely symbolic vote yesterday, the first committee vote and committee hearing for this bill, SB 562. It's the single-payer health care bill proposed by Democratic Senators Ricardo Lara and Tony Atkins. And right now I need to speak a little bit quietly,
sure,
because the session has gotten underway, and right, there's a prayer followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. But single-payer health care, it got a lot of questions yesterday, even from Democratic members of the committee, who were very much in favor of at least voting to keep the conversation going. It's pretty clear that this bill may have a future, may not, but its future is probably not this year.
I'll add that people may know there was a rally yesterday in Sacramento, and that was a rally sponsored and organized by hundreds of nurses. The California Nurses Association is the lead sponsor. It's the main backer. There are a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters amongst the group rallying for this. Is there a date for its next committee appearance or the next vote?
I haven't seen a date yet, but I can tell you that it'll need to get its next fiscal committee hearing in the next several weeks because of a deadline in order for bills to keep moving through the process. Now, that is only, of course, if the bill is going to keep moving this year. I think it's entirely possible that the authors could say, hey, we know we have not yet identified a way to pay for it. We haven't even identified a clear cost estimate yet. And we know, and they've said, look, we're studying the cost estimate. We're going to have an answer before its fiscal committee hearing. But I think it's entirely possible they could just say, hey, we know this needs more work with stakeholders. There are a lot of questions to be answered. Even supporters have a lot of questions. And frankly, a lot of progressive groups that advocate for bringing health care to as many folks in California as possible, they're really focused on preserving the Affordable Care Act right now in Washington, and a lot less focused on creating a whole new health care system in California. So I think this could just get put on hold for a year or two.
Then the symbolic passage yesterday, Ben, does that end up being a statement along the lines of, this is worth talking about? It's not worth doing anything about right now, but let's keep the dialogue open?
I think that's exactly it, yeah.
Okay. One more checkpoint before we let you go, and that is the transportation funding bill, which some call the gas tax bill, SB1. It's on the governor's desk now, correct?
It is. It's been on the governor's desk now for only about 24 hours, and that's noteworthy because it was passed, what, I think 3 weeks ago today? So the reason it was held on to is because there were two bills that were side deals related to getting votes, the final votes, to get the gas tax bill to the two-thirds that it needed to pass. One contains about $1 billion in appropriations for specific road projects and rail projects in the Central Valley and Inland Empire. And the other contains a specific piece of legislation important to the lone Republican vote for the gas tax, Senator Anthony Canella of Ceres. He is a civil engineer, and
right.
He wanted some liability protections for civil engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And so those bills reached final passage in the Assembly this past Monday. And so now that those bills are through, those two bills and the main SB1 have been moved to the governor's desk. That means the governor has 12 days to act on them. The only real suspense is when he'll sign them, where, if he does a dog and pony show, or
right.
If he just quietly signs them.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ben, thanks so much for joining us from where you are today and with all the information, and glad to have you in Capital Chat.
Anytime. Happy to do it.
That is our Capital Bureau Chief, Ben Adler, and you can find more state government news at capradio.org. A programming note for you. Tomorrow, in place of Insight, we're going to recue the Cap Radio documentary, Autism Grows Up. Maybe you saw it when it aired 2 years ago. It's an award-winning project by the View From Here team. We're going to post a link also to my recent conversation with Dr. Marjorie Solomon. She's from the UC Davis Mind Institute. April has been Autism Awareness Month, and so these projects focus on issues and challenges related to children with autism transitioning into adults with autism. Hope that's helpful for all of you. And again, that will be tomorrow in place of Insight, Autism Grows Up. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.
Whoa.